podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name's Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everyone. Happy April. Happy National Sexual Assault Prevention Month. It's right up our alley. How's it going, guys? All these sexual assaults that we commit.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
Where does one go from there? It's weird to say, oh, things are going great after that. Because it's sort of like, no, it's really not.
Anyway, hello. Did I kill the show? Should I start it again?
It show's over. Yeah. So I'll go home. Right. See you next week, guys.
Bye, guys. We skipped last week. It's a 30-second show this week because I made an awkward joke to begin with. But good thing we've got 5,000 emails and voicemails and
literally 9 pages of feedback.
We do.
Well, so if it wasn't all perfectly formatted, it probably could be less.
All right.
Oh, wait, I see some that the font's not matching.
If it was in Times New Roman, it would.
That's okay. I did it too. I did it because once you started doing it, I was like, oh no, now you've triggered me.
Yeah, I like started obsessively. Because usually when I put the feedback in, I have like, you know, a certain like pitch that I use for like the emails, and it's usually actually different than Facebook, and then like headings are bolded and so, you know, all these things. And so
the moral of the story is we had a lot of feedback. We were all trying to do it. Amanda completely fucked up Shandy's rhythm. And
no. Why you gotta blame it on me?
I don't know. I did it too.
There's no blame at all. It was really awesome that we could all work together and collaboratively like put together this 9-page document. But then I like couldn't stop myself. I was apologizing as I was doing it, for the record. Like, I am sorry that I'm editing what you just copy pasted in here, but I have to make it the same font.
Who said that women can't work together?
Yep.
No one, literally no
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, it's been 2 weeks. Last week we skipped because I had a rough night, rough sleeping week, and it was not really Alex so much as I was having trouble falling back asleep after he was eating. Like he's probably up for less than 15 minutes in the middle of the night, twice at night. So it's really not that bad, but I was just having problems falling back asleep, so I wasn't getting any sleep. And then Zach comes in my bed, and he like kicks around and flails around. So I needed like a mental health week last week. It was Jay's birthday. I was like, let me just, instead of, you know, rushing around to get everything done, and I'll just do that. Well, Zach got sick last Thursday. He's had a temperature of somewhere between 102 and 105 since then. Yeah. We have definitely not slept since then. So I am really tired. I am really tired. And I have a lot to talk about because so much happened, but we have so much feedback. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what to start with.
Pick your one favorite thing.
I don't have one favorite thing. I had a mail truck catch fire in front of my house last week.
Yeah, let's go with that one. All the rest, inconsequential in comparison.
I'm not sure if they really are, though. Okay, but we'll start with that.
Write them down in your notebook, and we can come back to them at a later date.
I did, and then I wrote in case started an outline for the next episode, and it says what I didn't get to last episode. I was trying to be conscious. Okay, I'll start with that, and then at some point, since in honor of my 6-week appointment, I will tell you guys how crazy that was too, which was actually not that crazy, just real awkward and embarrassing.
And here they say your life gets boring when you have kids.
It does not. I can make a story out of anything. Okay, so last week we had a mail truck catch fire in front of our house. So it was the middle of the day on Monday. And I was decided for some random reason to nurse Alex in his room. Because, you know, I generally sit outside on the couch, and I was like, let me go in the room. So I'm in there and I'm, you know, playing on my phone and trying to get him to go to sleep. And I hear like bang, a really loud, just like bang noise. It sounded like a gunshot or a car backfiring or something. And I was like, that's like, what is that? And we used to live near a quarry. So it kind of sounded like that. Like, you know,
they're blowing out
thing, and then everything would shake. It kind of sounded like that. It felt like that. And I was like, that's really kind of weird. And Jay had taken off Monday and Tuesday for his birthday on Tuesday. So he was rearranging things down here in the office. And my first thought after that was like, huh, maybe he tried to move like the Tron arcade and it fell or something. Because the house kind of shake a little bit.
That would serve him right.
I know. Yeah. So I was like, let me just call him. So I called downstairs and there was no answer. And I was like, well, let me wait a second because, you know, I'm kind of lazy and I'm sure he's alive. And another minute or so goes by and I hear two loud, like, bang, bang, right in a row. And I'm like, okay, that's really weird. So I start to get up and then Jay ends up calling me back from down the stairs. And he's like, are you calling about the banging? And I was like, yeah, like, is that you? And he goes, I don't know. He's like, honestly, it sounded like the quarry at first. And then I realized after these next two that we don't live close enough to hear the quarry anymore. And I was like, all right, let me go investigate. So I get up and I walk outside. I look out the living room windows because they're the dining room windows because, you know, my house is just like open concept with all windows. And I see the fucking mail truck is on fire, like huge flames.
So could you see that it was the mail truck at that point, or you were just like a giant ball of fire?
No. It was a giant ball of fire, but I could see that the mail truck, I could see it was a mail truck.
And it was a mail truck shaped fire.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
I almost took a picture and then I was like, no, wait, I need to call 911.
Then take the picture. So, priorities.
Yeah. So I'm on the phone with Jay still and I'm like, and if he wasn't doing something else right now, he'd probably want to come in and tell his side of the story because according to him, I was a lot more of a disaster than I remember being. But I was like, oh my God, mail truck, fire, fire, mail truck, call 911, call the fire department, just call, I don't know who you call, just call somebody.
Ghostbusters?
And the Ghostbusters. He's like, the postal service. Yeah. One of your trucks is on fire.
I don't know. Yeah. Call my mom. Tell her it's on fire. So I don't know what to do. Thoughts and prayers. Tweet the president.
Well, that's what you do, right? I mean, haven't current events taught us anything?
Absolutely.
You don't actually do anything.
No,
you just have thoughts and prayers.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway.
Just tweet it out.
I'm like freaking out. But I'm not freaking out like, what do we do freaking out? I'm freaking out because I generally sit outside facing that window. I see the mail truck drive by my house every day because we're on a fairly decent schedule with nursing. So like I pretty much see that him go by. Then one day I would have seen the whole thing fucking blow up if I had been sitting in my normal spot. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I'm like, Jay is like, what's on fire? The mailbox? And I'm like, the mail truck. Just call somebody. I'm like, I don't know. Google who you call. And he's like, I'm going to call 911. I was like, okay, cool.
Good choice.
Who do you call when the mail lights on fire?
So, yeah. You know, at that point, like, he's at some point he has hung up on me as I'm like shouting to call somebody. And he's because he's gone outside and seen the mail truck in a, like, it was huge, right? And I hear him run up the stairs and he's on the phone with 911. And this was kind of odd because he was like, he's like 8-1-1-7. And he's like, you know, trying to like give them direct like instructions. He's like, no, it's on fire now. We need a fire department. And like, they're like, who are you? And he's like, GLAT, you know, so it was
just a concerned neighbor.
Yeah, he's like, it's in my backyard / side of my house / front of my house. Cause you know, my house is on an angle. So really, when you look out in the backyard, where the mail truck caught fire is technically the front of my yard, side of my house, and backyard all at once.
I really wish that he had actually described his location like that.
It's the front side back. It's the back side front.
Let me drop a pen for you.
Yeah. So he's trying to do that. I put Alex down in his crib because I'm still holding him because I had gotten up. He was asleep in my arms. And I was like, I have to go see if the driver's okay because I don't, you know, this is, mm-hmm. I don't know if I was going to rush in there, but like, clearly there was a chance that somebody was in like distress, and I wanted to go and investigate, because it was, although it's like common right of way or whatever out there, it was still my fucking yard, like my curb space. So, you know, I run out, and the only thing you can't see, because like we're kind of set in a little bit, like the driveway is set back. Amanda knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Probably some people listening know. I can't see from the back, the front of the house clearly. So I run out to the front, and as I get up there, I see the fire truck is already there, and there's some neighbors that are watching and whatnot. And that, oh, before I ran out, while Jay was on the phone with 911, that was when I was going to try to take the picture. And I kind of feel like now, knowing that the fire truck was already there and the driver was okay, I should have just taken the picture. Lost opportunity, hashtag, but
it's okay. You made the right choice.
I'm about to start a shitstorm of like millennials and their damn Instagrams. It's going to be worse than the theft email, people. So, just kidding. So I'm just kidding. So I run out, and like, so they're there. And that's when I grabbed the picture that Jay posted on Instagram and Facebook. And I put it on my blog today, actually, and I tweeted it out. But so that's when I took that, and like I ran back to get Jay, who was at the part of the house where the front was in the blind spot where the fire truck was, and he was like trying to get the hose ready, because if it was like our woods, so he's just thinking like, well, let me try to wet some shit. So
spread. No, that's actually totally really smart. I wouldn't have thought to do that in such a crisis. Good on him.
So many. That's what she says.
I know.
I'm saying it because the listeners are thinking it.
I know. So at that point, like he comes around with the hose or whatever, and I run up, and I'm like, I'm so excited and running, and I haven't run in like a year. I'm like, at this point, I'm also like, please don't let me pee my pants. Because I definitely had that thought and that like weird feeling, and I was like, okay, I better slow down. So
it's like everything is coming together.
Well, I was so excited that I was like losing control of my functions.
Oh no.
Like, I wasn't in a panic. I was just like very excitable. Like
it's just like, this is like a callback to so many past episodes.
I know. It all comes together. So, you know, at that point, Jay comes up and he's like, go check on the baby. And I was like, all right, go check on the baby. And then at that point, the driver was young. He had to have been, maybe 24, 25, 26.
Oh, wow. He must have been freaked.
Yes. And I had seen him there. And because we're so friendly and don't know any of our neighbors, aside from the two that live on our block, I was like trying to think, like, have I ever seen this? Is this, because I had seen him standing across the street when I first ran up, and he looked like, you know, nervous. And I was like, is this, you know, who is this person? Because and then he ended up being the driver. So Jay was talking to him, because I guess he was young and the other people out around were the older people that live in my neighborhood, so he came over to us closer to his age, and that's just my assumption. And so his name is Roberto. He was super nice, and he told us that he was, because it's a dead end where I live, he was turning around to go up from the people in the end where the dead end is, to turn around to come to our house, and he noticed that there was smoke in the front, like under the hood, and he pulled over to check it out. At that point, it was just like, you know, some smoke, and he realized that, you know, he saw like little flames start. So at that point, he ran back, grabbed his phone, and, you know, went away enough to call 911, and thankfully he got out, and he stopped when he did, and wasn't like, you know, let me pull up further, because at that point it would have been like our mailbox where it happened,
right.
And thankfully he wasn't in it. So the banging that I heard, I'm pretty sure were the sounds of the tires popping, like the blowing out.
Right, that makes sense.
I'm pretty sure. He didn't say that, but like I looked at it, and he did say that the tires had like, you know, blown out or whatever. So I'm pretty sure that that's what it was. But turns out he was on his 90-day probation period still. So he was all nervous that he was going to lose his job. And
but he did good.
He did
right.
Good.
Like that can't possibly have been his fault.
Yeah. So he did good. The fire department got everything out. There were some, what are they called, like smolders in the woods by us. But thank God we've had so much rain lately, and not even rain, but like just like rainy, wet days, that nothing spread. It wasn't dry. So thank goodness. So they like sprayed everything out, and there's like, it's funny because the one side from our house still looked like a mail truck, but the other three sides in the inside and everything were just totally wrecked. You guys saw the picture. So
right.
So there was that. But we became kind of friends with Roberto. And, you know, I'm the only one that considers us friends. He clearly does not. We've seen him a bunch of times since then. And every time I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? And he's just like, you know, I'm embarrassed. And don't, like, who are you? I don't even know who you are. I only know your name because I deliver your mail. And the funny thing is, because we feel kind of bad, like, we're like, he's clearly struggling, and I feel bad because he has shown up. The other night, he came to our house. It was like 8 o'clock at night, and he was in his car, and he delivered a package. He was like, I forgot to deliver this earlier, so here you go. And it was like Saturday, so I guess he didn't want to like go through like not having it on Sunday. And then we saw him on Monday morning delivering another package or Monday morning or Tuesday or this morning, he was delivering another package at like 7 a.m. and then he came by again in the mail truck later. So we were like, clearly, Jay was like, do you think maybe he's just not good at his job? And the fire thing was a coincidence. And I was like,
oh, poor guy.
I know. I feel kind of bad. We're pulling for him, though. Like, I think I'm totally weirding him out to the fact that maybe he is coming late at night or early in the morning because he wants to, like, avoid me.
No, I can't imagine it's that serious.
I don't know. I'm like that weird old lady now to him. That's.
But you guys shared a traumatic experience.
We did. So, yeah, that was exciting. I also learned that there's no fire hydrant near my house.
Oh, good to know.
Huh.
I know.
You could probably petition the
I don't know. City, right? Mr. Rudy, you know, Big D, who owned the house beforehand, he had that woodshed. The whole thing burned down, and my neighbor was telling us that they used all of the water in the truck to get it out.
Jeez.
And they wouldn't have had a place to hook it up unless they went to the neighborhood behind us and, like, hooked it up and then, like, hiked through the woods. So that's kind of crazy to me. But
that's crazy. Yeah.
Anyway, does anybody else want to talk before I tell the story about my 6-week postnatal appointment? It's really not that interesting. It's like a more of a 2-minute story. But I have a question for the listeners that I really actually need feedback on. So I want to make sure that I get to it.
I don't really have anything except that a couple days ago, I started rewatching Westworld. In preparation for the release of season 2, which is coming up in a couple weeks. And for whatever reason, I didn't listen to the Jay Jack and Mike podcast about it the first time around. I think because I binged it like after it had all been released. And so,
yeah,
you know, when you binge a show, you're not necessarily going to like then go back and like listen to Anyway, so I'm listening to it now and it's really, really fun. So
check it out.
Here, big fan. I'm so excited for it to come back and for the podcast to come back.
Yeah.
Me too.
I will say, like, watching it a second time around, it's really, really, really worth it. Really worth it.
Hold on. Hold on.
It went all alien on us.
Crazy. God. Mm.
No, I think your internet or your microphone was super excited to, like, really reiterate your point. Like, it went on that endorsement.
Westworld is weird. Yeah, no, but like there are already so many things that, you know, I mean that's the case for any show, obviously, but something as rich as Westworld, there's just so much more that like I realize now and like different layers and stuff, and like, and then the podcast is really fun to listen to because like I know what's going to happen at the end of season 1, but the pod, you know, Jay Jack and Mike in the episodes that I'm listening to don't know yet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's funny because, of course, they're going to be wrong about certain things. But I can't wait until they're super right about other things. And I know that will probably happen and I'll be super impressed.
Probably won't be.
No, I think there was a few things. Okay. I mean, what? That was a year and a half ago at this point.
Yeah.
I keep thinking it was just last October. Like
I know. Doesn't it seem like that? Yeah. But no, but there's a bunch of stuff that they've already pointed out that I was like, huh, I did not even consider that. So anyway,
good companions. But that's, I was thinking the same thing. I was watching something else on HBO last night. Oh, I was watching Barry. If you guys have not started watching that show, it's the new Bill Hader. Like dark comedy.
Oh my god, we watched the first episode.
Funny. Yeah. It's so funny. I'm really, really enjoying it. But the side point, the point I was trying to make was that I saw a new Westworld promo in front of it, and it was so good. But it's sort of the same thought. I was like, it's been so long. I really need to go back and rewatch and like refamiliarize myself, because there's a lot of points and things that they're calling to that I'm like, oh, I kind of remember, but I don't really remember. It's just like it's such a long time to go in between, and especially in this world where we're just all about the binge watch.
Totally.
That's like eons.
Yeah. Also, I know when I was binging it the first time, like a lot of those episodes, especially in the middle, I watched when I had had like a minor operation. I think I talked about it.
Yes, we talked about it.
That's really funny.
Oh my God, that's actually funny that you bring that up, because I think I have that thing that you had. Oh. I want to get your guys' feedback if that's what it is.
Yeah, definitely.
We can offline that though.
Okay. But anyway, like because of that, I was on like, you know, some like meds after the little operation. So that also complicates the sort of like remembering and understanding what I actually saw. So it's good. Gotcha. It's good. Yeah. It's good to watch a second time.
You know, thriller television is always best consumed when slightly high on pain meds. At least that's how I live my life.
Dude,
I don't know about
you
guys.
Down your theories or whatever while you were on pain meds watching it, because I bet you would have been right.
Perhaps. Yeah. It wasn't anything too strong, but still.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. April 22nd.
Yeah.
Oh, that's soon. That's
yes.
Really soon.
Time is out of the essence.
Yeah. Well, so I guess I won't do a rewatch.
You could still do it. It's only April 3rd as of today.
as of today. Yeah. We'll see. Try me in a week.
All right. Fair enough. So, yeah, awesome. Check out Westworld, Jay, Jack, and Mike. And in the meantime, you can also check out Heroes with Jay, Jack, and Mike Reborn. It's on the Whole Enchilada feed, and it's on the Old Lost Podcast feed, and it has its own feed. So check that out.
It was released
Easter Sunday, April 1st. So I think you should all check it out.
Yep. You know, just that time in television was just so good. The writing was so good.
Yeah. Screw the writer's strike. They really messed us all up.
You don't need real TV writers to write good television.
Anyway, speaking of good television, I am in the middle of season 4 now of West Wing.
Nice.
But I know it's Rob Lowe's last season, so I don't want to finish it.
Oh, yeah.
Leo's my favorite, but Sam is my favorite after Leo, so I really don't want.
Is that really season 4? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I always get kind of season 3 and season 4 kind of amalgam into one.
Sorry, I went to pick up a baby that woke up, but quietly woke up because he's an angel. Unlike the other one who wakes up and starts screaming, mommy, mommy, right away. And then when... Well, at first I had him... I had Zach the other night and Alex both together. And I guess we were taking up the whole bed, me and Zach. So Jay had to sleep in Zach's room, but... Zach was sick. This was before we realized, because at first they told us it was an ear infection. And I didn't think I had to quarantine them for an ear infection. That was before they tested Zach for strep and mono. It's neither of those. It's just tonsillitis. Anyway, I got out of bed to put Alex back after feeding him. And Zach was like immediately like, mommy, where are you? And I'm like, dude, I'm literally right here. I was calling you when you weren't here. And I was like, well, then you had a nightmare.
Like, not entirely true.
I'm right here. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying? That was a minute long tangent that didn't need to happen.
That's all I got.
Yeah. I saw Angels in America the past two weeks.
How was it?
It was awesome. So Angels in America is back on Broadway with Nathan Lane and Andrew Garfield and Lee Pace, the pie maker from Pushing Daisies.
Lee Pace, I know who he is.
Yeah, big fan. But it was awesome. So I got tickets through work, which was wonderful. And I always love when they give out tickets. But I'd only gotten tickets for part one because I was going home to Connecticut that weekend. So because it's two parts, It's like a million hours of theater, essentially. Both parts are like 3 to 4 hours long.
Part one is like really fucking
long. Yeah, like bring snacks. Speaking of bringing snacks, so the first part one I went to with my friend, and we're sitting in the balcony, and the row in front of us, there's this guy, and he had like a container of berries like that you buy at the grocery store just open. He's just snacking away on the berries he got at Stop and Shop and brought with him.
Right.
Yeah, but it's long. So, you know, snacks are advised. but I ended up being able to score tickets for the part two the following week. And I'm so glad I did. I forgot. Cause you know, it's like part one's the part that like, if you're familiar with the play, you probably know better. At least that was the case for me. And I was like, oh, whatever. I don't really remember what's in part two. Like I don't really need to go. And I'm so glad to be proven wrong because it was so, so good. Ended up going by myself.
What is it called? Perestroika?
Yeah. Perestroika. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
But yeah, no, I ended up going by myself because my friend who went to part one with me had a date. So I understand. Yeah. So that was the big thing for me. I feel like there was something else, but it's gone.
If you remember it, write it down. If we do a second show soon.
Took the wrong subway home. Oh, yeah, did that today. Yeah, that happened. That just kind of knocked me all off base.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. The reason that I made these sexual assault prevention joke to start the show was because I had a story about Zach and Stormy Daniels, but I'd rather tell my 6-week story. So stay tuned if we have time at the end or wait for the next episode. Yeah.
Got a long show.
Okay, so I had my 6-week exam however many long ago it was at this point. And I went in, and Alex is a really good – he's a pretty good napper. Like, he's fairly consistent. So we get in, and I, like, fed him right before I left and was like, okay, he should be good. He'll fall asleep. He'll be great. But I forgot that he was going through the 6-week growth spurt, so he wants to nurse, like, all the time. He's always like, I'm hangry. And he actually – it was funny because – in the middle of last week, so it would be about 4 or 5 days after this story, he outgrew his newborn clothing, so he definitely did grow. But so I get there and he starts crying. So then they're like, "Oops, sorry, ooh, you cry on demand."
Almost if I'm cute.
So I get there and the nurse is like, "Okay, you have to strip down like totally naked." And I was like, "Oh, really?" Because you know, at all my exams at the last 4 weeks of my pregnancy, it was like optional. Like if you want to have a cervix check, and you know, I was always like, "Why the fuck not? I want to know what's going on." Uh-huh. So you know, they were like, "Strip down," and I was like, "Okay." So I take all my clothes off and I put the two different robes on, like the one that opens in the front and the thing over me on the bottom. And then Alex, of course, wakes up and starts crying. And I'm like, oh, please stop. So I try to get him to go to sleep and he won't do it. And of course, the doctor comes in as I'm like awkwardly trying to hold everything together. And like literally, I've got like one hand just holding everything up to be like modest, so to speak. I know, haha, funny. And then the other trying to get him. And she comes and she's like, oh, you can pick him up and feed him. It's fine. And I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, I've done like your yearly exams with women who've had to breastfeed. And I'm like, all right. So like I put him on the boob and she's like, it's like, he's got a great latch. And I was like, yes, I know. So then she's like, okay, we'll put your feet up on the stirrups. And I'm like, really? She did a pap smear while I was nursing.
Jeez.
And you don't think that's the most awkward thing to experience? It was pretty awkward. And I was like, I am woman. I am doing the epitome of multitasking right now.
Well, that's a good story to
for cancer, and I'm feeding a baby from my tit at the same time. It was so awkward and I was so embarrassed and I shouldn't have been. She was like making conversation. She's like, no, it's fine. She's like, blah, 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 blah. It's like, I pulled him out of you. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. So
yeah, that's fair.
I was like, well, you did a good job because he can still eat 6 weeks later. But she recommended to me. So I had the night before my appointment, actually, I had either my period come back or breakthrough bleeding. And with I've said with before with Zach, it took a full year. Like Zach's birthday is June 13th. I got my period back like June 7th of like that year, like right before his birthday. So I don't know what it was. And I had her look at it. I was like, can you look at this bleeding and tell me? And she's like, I'm going to do a pap smear. So sure. But, you know, of course, she's like, I don't know. So anyway, grossness aside. So she, you know, was like, well, regardless of what it is, you know, whether it's your period or just some sporadic breakthrough bleeding, you should get on some form of birth control, because even if it never happens again, like, you can't rely on, you know, breastfeeding as a reliable form of birth control. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's fair. And so she wants me to go on Mirena, the IUD. And I want to know if anybody out there has any experience with it, because I don't know anybody. I mean, I'm sure I know people that have been on it, but I don't know of anybody personally who has done that. And I would really appreciate if anybody can even privately give me some sort of, because I've been to the Google and I've searched the Raleigh Moms Facebook group for other people asking for recommendations, and it seems pretty 50-50. And I just wanted to know if anybody that I'm more intimately acquainted with, like the people listening, can recommend it or not. Because I, before I do that, I just would like to know anybody's personal experience. Otherwise, I'll have to go on the mini pill, and I really don't want to have to go on the mini pill. So,
I mean, like, are you set on hormonal birth control? Because there are other options.
Well, like, well, let me tell you, 6 weeks of Zach being, 6 days of Zach being sick, Jay was actually Googling how to get a vasectomy this morning.
That's a wonderful
option. Literally sat down and was like, all right, so I found some places we
can, we can do this.
And I was like, or you could just go to your doctor and talk to them. Right. He was like, yeah, but I really needed to know.
Yeah, no, I have a few friends that do the IUD. They like it.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay. Because from what I've seen from, like, in the Raleigh Moms Facebook group, it seems split. People who just, it was uncomfortable to them. Mm-hmm. Nobody really complained of, like, hormonal side effects. It just seemed to be, like, people who found it very uncomfortable, or people that had, like, great experiences with it. So I was just wondering.
I mean, it's supposed to be, like, one of the best, if you're going to go hormonal, like, one of the best options. I love the idea that it's for 5 years. Personally, like, there's something reassuring about knowing that I'm doing something every day to, like, control that, like, and this may be related to me, like, changing the font of the Google Doc. But I do remember having a friend, like, quite a while ago who the hormones did not agree with her. But again, that was like quite a while ago. So I'm sure the technology has changed a lot, because they use fewer hormones, I think, usually than like birth control pill.
They do that, and it's just progesterone. That's why they recommend that for nursing moms, and they recommend the mini pill, which I don't remember the name of it. She gave me all the brochures. I have them upstairs. But that's because putting estrogen, like, in, I guess, could drive your supply or affect it. So they're progesterone only, which is why, again, they kind of push the IUD to the nursing moms, because it just directly, I guess, blocks the sperm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, if anybody out there, I really was just curious and hoping that somebody even privately can just give me their experience. So thank you. And what non-hormonal options were you thinking, Shandy?
Condoms, vasectomy, I was going to say non-penetrative sex, but I guess it's like as like a method.
I thought you were going to be like anal.
I that too. No, I would not recommend the pull-out method as a form of birth control.
No.
Kidding. I wouldn't suggest such a thing in seriousness.
No, I haven't done that for the last...
I wouldn't dream of it.
Well, I haven't decided what to do, so I surely have not done the pullout for the last 2 weeks. Okay, so let's talk about guns.
Perfect. Good segue. A plus.
Speaking of fully loaded.
A plus. NRA A plus.
I mean, it really is kind of related to men being obsessed with, you know, yep. certain things. Yeah.
Something long and,
well,
and
I mean,
fires.
First of all, Second Assault, world premiere, Sarasota Film Festival on April 17th. Amanda, do you want to do the honors again?
I thought you just announced it, though.
Oh, okay.
You just did it. Go to the film festival's website to purchase your tickets if you're in the area. Both Jillian and Amy will be there. So if you needed more incentive to go see the film, go see it when you can actually meet the filmmakers. Because as you've seen from when they were on the podcast, they're pretty awesome chicks.
Yes, mm-hmm. And Sarasota is in New York, in case anybody was wondering. So Dennis, you can go.
I thought Sarasota was in Florida.
Isn't that Pensacola?
Sarasota, oh, Florida? Awesome. Oh, God. Let's look it up. To the internet.
To the internet. Sarasota is a town in New York, though.
I think it's in Florida.
Though. Oh, that's Saratoga.
Saratoga
is in New York.
There you go.
Just kidding. All right. I'm rolling
on. I'm rolling that part out.
Nope. I'm an idiot.
It's been really exciting following them on Facebook, though, because I feel like almost every day they have like new announcements of just great things and festivals and stuff that they've been admitted to.
That's the interesting thing about the festival circuit. It's a lot of wait. It's a lot of rejection. And then all of a sudden, all the acceptances just start spilling in. Yeah. You're like, yay, I'm not a failure. Things are awesome. Good.
Awesome.
I'm so glad they're having so much success. And I can't wait till they actually do come to a New York film festival, because I have only seen a rough cut and I would love to see the finished product.
Yes, maybe they'll go to Saratoga and then Dennis.
Maybe they'll go to Saratoga.
Desiree, is Sarasota near you? Because you can go then. Greg, you're in Florida. Maybe you can go.
You could have a broadcast carpool. Oh, you can all go.
Yeah. I don't know where Sarasota, Florida is, but they weren't affected by the hurricane, so clearly I don't know.
Fair. So anyway, yeah, go check that out. Now, guns.
Okay. Oh, no, weird kids' toys.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Lori, for sending me one. I need to post this video that I took in the patrons group of Jay playing with it, because it's real funny, as you can imagine.
Yes. Look, oh, my God, that's so great.
I took it on Saturday or Sunday. I think her package might have been the one that what's his face, Roberto, came back to deliver at like 6 o'clock at night.
It was
great. Or 8 o'clock at night. I think that might have been it. But I will post the video. Or maybe that. No, I'm sorry. That was the one. It was from my great aunt that was that night. 100% it was the one that he delivered at 7 o'clock in the morning. So. Poor dude.
Oh, good thing you didn't know I was inside.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know, right? Weird kids toy. Greg says, I call the tube thing a science toy because growing up, my mail had a couple sciencey stores aimed at kids. Those tubes were always both at both of them. The harder you squeeze them, the faster they shoot out of your hands.
Wait, mail? Did you mean mall?
Yeah.
Mall? Oh, did I? I have mail on the brain.
I know. That's what I was like chalking it up to.
Matt said the one Lori showed us was 5 inches. It's long, so I'm going to stop there. That's what she said. And then finally, we've got. So Maggie went to. I'm going to play Maggie's voicemails first. Mainly because Alex keeps getting fussy. But Matt and. Maggie, I should have just had you on the show to talk about this, so I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. Maggie went to the March for Our Lives in Washington a couple of weeks ago, and I have to say, I did a lot of crying that day because I was so proud of the generation. And I had this realization that those kids are 15, 16, 17, 18. Like, they're making it safer, hopefully, for when my kids, who are now, you know, 0 and almost 4 from where, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18. And, you know, if we had done something our generation when it started, which how would we know? It was still so new. Right. Like, if we had done something, like, maybe we could have made it safer for them. I don't know. I had a lot of, I had all the feels that day. Maybe it was my maybe period. Who knows?
Oh, it's so beautiful. I'm super impressed with this generation too. And they're really giving me hope. I don't think we necessarily need to be like too hard on ourselves, because I remember when we were their age, like the big, Columbine happened. And I think we were all just kind of like WTF, because that was really, I think, the beginning of this whole like trend of this becoming a norm. But I think like one of the big things that we were dealing with was 9/11. And like, I remember marching for that and stuff. We had our own sort of active.
Yeah, we would have been freshmen.
Yeah, I remember being a freshman in high school and then a senior in high school for 9/11. And like we marched for that. We had our own activism, which was also a very confusing time because it was like, are you for America?
It was a very confusing
time. Sure, but I also don't think
we're war on terror.
Anyway,
I guess we don't have to kick ourselves for us not being in the same time and place as this generation and having the same tools as them. I think what we should just be happy that this is happening. Yeah.
Right. Well, and I think that's that is the crux of the point, Shandy, that you made. It's a different time and the tools are different. Like, these kids grew up with social media. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the demonstration of how social media can be used for good.
Yeah.
The way it can rally and spread a message quickly and efficiently. And, you know, these kids are using it to their advantage to get things done and to organize and they have a reach that we couldn't have at that age, just because we didn't use the internet in the same way. Social media wasn't a thing. You know, we were all very contained within our, exactly. We were all still very contained in our communities. So I think things at a national scale, well, yeah, they happened. You know, there's been giant marches on Washington since the civil rights. Like, it's nothing new, but the way it is being organized is very new. Mm-hmm. So I agree. It's, you know, take a minute to feel bad about yourself, but then dust yourself off and go and support.
And go join the movement.
It's
so beautiful. I love it so much.
No, I'm glad Maggie went to the one in DC. Yeah. I went in Connecticut because I was home in Connecticut that weekend. And it was awesome. It was a well-organized march. They had so many really great speakers, but I missed a lot of what happened in DC because of it. Mm. Yay, Maggie.
So we have two back-to-back voicemails from Maggie, and then she finishes it up with an email.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is Maggie. I'm calling in to share with you about my day, because I went to the March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C. today. I wasn't going to go because it's going to be a busy week, but then I ended up with some snow days during the week, so it was a little more restful, and I went today. And I can't even tell you, I don't think I have the words of how amazing it was. This is my third march. I've been to two women's marches last year's and this year's, and this one is like 10 times better. Amanda, I know you were there you were in DC last year, and it was an amazing experience. And for me to say that this one beats it, it was so freaking amazing. So freaking amazing. Even just before they started, there was music playing, fun dance music to dance and sing along to while you're waiting for the march to start. We got in place about 10:30 before it started at 12, so we had a while to wait, but still. I don't even know. If you are interested, you need to watch the speakers from DC today. I know there are other marches, and I'm sure they were probably just as amazing, but no one spoke that was probably over the age of 19 other than the performers, and the performers didn't say much. They, you know, thanked people for being there. The most was Miley Cyrus trying to get people to sing, was getting people to sing along to the climb, which is very powerful because just about every woman
under the age of 40 was singing along with Miley Cyrus, I think. And then Jennifer Hudson at the end when she took us to church and was getting everybody to sing. Like, that was probably the most. The performers did not speak anything extra. It was all spoken by, I can't even call them kids, these leaders, these two 11-year-olds spoke today. They're 11. And one of them mentioned she can't wait till she votes in 7 years. The fact that she knows she can vote in 7 years at the age of 11. I mean, so yeah, I'm trying very hard to get through this without crying. I can't even tell you how many times I lost it today. Probably the most powerful speaker of the day was Emma Gonzalez. She spoke for about 2 minutes. And then the next 4 minutes and 20 seconds. Hi, Brad. It's Maggie again. I got cut off. So I was going to say, to watch Emma Gonzalez's speech, she spoke for about 2 minutes. And then the rest of the 4 minutes and 20 seconds that she had on stage for a total of 6 minutes and 20 seconds, she was silent. The crowd could not handle the silence. And partly in the crowd's defense, I guess, as being one of them, one of the Parkland survivors, Samantha Fuentes, did get sick during her speech from nerves or just the fact that 30-some days ago she was shot at, and I saw on the internet because I looked at it up to get her exact, to remember her name, you know, she was wounded. And then in 30-something days later, she's speaking to a crowd of probably of a million would be my guess, at least. And so she kind of threw up, and the whole crowd, I think their hearts went out to her. So everybody thought that Emma Gonzalez was losing it, but she was not. These young leaders are doing something amazing, and they are doing something that all of us have wanted to do for 19 years since Columbine, and no one's been able to do it. And they're going to do it. And so my friends were like, yeah, let's just vote for all of them right now, even the 11-year-olds. Yep. Like, can they just please let them all take over everything right now, because they're going to do it. And it was an amazing day, and I'm really, really glad I went. And I know you guys have had the gun kind of debate, and I have been meaning to weigh in, but as a preschool teacher who teaches 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, who twice a year we have to do a lockdown drill where we have to pretend we're not there, because as I tell the preschoolers, and yes, Colleen, I tell kids younger than Zach that there's a bad guy in the building. There might be a bad guy, so we have to pretend we're not here, and I have to get them to stay silent. Because if it were real, not being silent could cost them their lives. And ever since Sandy Hook, I have to hold back tears when we're doing this. And it sucks, and it's awful, and it needs to stop. And I am definitely with these kids, with these youth leaders that are going to change the world. They're going to do it. And we just got to be on their
side. I think I don't have my baby period now.
God damn it, Maggie.
This is what I was like that whole day watching CNN.
Yeah.
And he did watch it with Zach, and I tried to explain it to him. And if you need a second to compose yourself before the email, I told you guys the story. And Zach asked, you know, because I was watching it on CNN while he was playing. He, you know, said what was going on. I said, you know, there's bad people with guns, and sometimes they, you know, go to like schools or movie theaters or churches. And I was, I'm making it sound more intelligent than I was saying. And I was keeping it very light because he's 3 and a half. He's almost 4. And he said, bad guys have weapons? And I said, how do you know about weapons? And he goes, I've seen Star Wars. He's pretty smart. And I was like, oh, you're right. I said, well, you know, just if you ever see anybody, if you ever see a kid with a real gun, because I know that they play like pow, pow guns in school. Like, it's, I guess it's just a little kid thing. I said, you know, if you ever see something that's real, you have to tell Miss Kirby, and you have to like run.
You can't look at it. You cannot be near it. And he goes, kids need toys, not guns.
Yep.
So
he's 100% right.
He was.
Yeah. I wish the adults were as smart as Zach is.
Yeah. And again, I didn't give him like, if anybody's out there going like, how could you not shelter your kid? Like I was sheltered growing up and the result was, I feel like I can't talk to my parents about anything still. So I
kids
kept
today can't afford to be sheltered.
I'm explaining it a lot more maturely than I think or more adult terms than I did to him. Cause it was 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. Like I swear to God, I did keep it on a three, four-year-old level, maybe a five-year-old, but.
Okay, so Maggie wrote in, to finish, an email, because she didn't want to call in a third time. So she finishes, we just got to be on their side. This was the most amazing march yet. The video screens had closed captioning. The words got messed up sometimes that made us laugh, but they were doing it live. Toni Morrison was spelled Tony with a Y, Morrison, or something crazy. A t-shirt I saw today said, I'm joining whatever political party the kids in Florida just started. Where do I sign up? What's next? I saw a sign today and I didn't get a picture. It's going to haunt me. The NRA grabbed Congress by the pussy or something like that. I am so jealous that she got to see Emma Gonzalez speak. I'm like low-key obsessed with her. and that speech was, if you haven't watched it, my God.
Yeah.
Well, just to have the wherewithal at that age. Like, I couldn't have dreamed that up today.
You could have, actually. You know, I was thinking about that. I feel like when you don't have more real-world things to distract you, we're all a lot more ideological at that age. And
well, just like the concept of the speech and utilizing silence, awesome. Particularly...
Yes.
Not even in America, just the world in general, silence isn't really a valued entity. So the fact that she chose to use silence and to punctuate her words, the words she did choose to speak, I think just it, not only is it wise beyond her years, but it's wise beyond most people's years, to be honest.
Right.
Totally.
Just, oh, so good.
Totally, totally. And this has been pointed out by other people, but this is what a good public education can get you if we just choose to fucking invest in it.
Mm-hmm. You know, yep. Charter schools. What?
We have a listener whose son was in Parkland, where he attends that high school, but he was not there the day of the shooting. And he posted a picture in the political Jane Jack political group that I'm in of the clear backpacks that came yesterday. And it was like, I was like, oh my God, usually it's like, are you going to an NFL game or, you know, you're going to school.
Right.
Like, that's just
insane to me. And it made it very, what's the right word? Like, not emotional, but like just
surreal.
More surreal. Like, because I don't know. It's crazy to me.
That's where we're at. And like, that's insane. How and why did we get there? that's the solution. That kids have to have clear backpacks to go to school.
Yeah. In the discussion that ensued from that, I had asked, like, well, what happens? Like, can these young women bring, like, a makeup case or a purse to school? Because what happens with things like, you know, tampons or something? Or if you're a student who's on, like, a medication that you have to take, you know, certain times a day or whatever, like, what happens? Like, yeah, I wouldn't want everybody to... I don't know how I feel about that. I understand safety, right. But, like... Mm-hmm. In this case, this kid wasn't even a student.
Right, exactly.
Like, he wasn't going... And they have had problems since then. I understand that. But, like,
It's totally everything, but yeah.
Right. And then I think, well, if the argument from a certain perspective is going to be that the bad guys will just get the guns anyway, so why should we have gun reform? I kind of want to be like, well, the bad guys will get the guns into the school anyway, so why are you bothering with clear backpacks and invade the privacy of people and maybe open up certain students to bullying or something?
Seriously. Right. What you're all claiming is like the reason that this happened and that somehow the kids are responsible for that.
Oh, I just need to be nice. Whoa, you're getting all worked up again.
Damn it!
Andy's computer, sit down, you're drunk.
Yeah, right, you're drunk. Go home.
Every time. Anyway, it just makes me mad. Maybe it's when I get pissed off that my microphone's like, whoop.
It's like your secret power.
Oh my God.
That's like your secret superpower.
Your microphone is like your Alexa. Exactly. It's like your
superpower. I'm just picturing myself in high school. I was very much like I am today, but like even like more uptight and aggro, if you can imagine. And so I could
continue.
I could totally see myself just like to make the point, like stuffing that backpack just like full of tampons and like other stuff like that, that would make other people uncomfortable. Just be like,
look at my Xanax, everybody. Here's
come at me. Like a big old fuck.
I wonder if kids are allowed to keep their prescriptions on them at school, or if it's like a summer, or if it's like a summer camp thing and it has to be at the nurse.
Maybe.
Interesting.
Schools don't have nurses anymore. In my boss's school, her daughter, whenever she goes to the nurse, there's only nurses there some days a week.
So what happens if you get sick or hurt the other days? Right. You
go to like the principal's office or something. I don't know.
You just bleed all over the principal's office.
Very sanitary.
Yeah. Hope that the secretary has basic first aid skills.
Right. Are you suggesting that maybe instead of like buying clear backpacks, they should invest in like a nursing salary?
No, just teachers. Better teachers.
Now that is outlandish.
I mean, we've had quite a few teachers in state strike over the last couple of weeks. Maybe just pay them more.
I mean, West Virginia, they're still striking.
Oklahoma, Kentucky.
Hold it down, guys.
Is it Kentucky? Oh my God. I know Oklahoma is. I feel like Kentucky was another one, but maybe I am incorrect.
Yep. One of the hardest, most important jobs you could do, and they are not adequately compensated.
I have a conspiracy theory, but that's just my own whatever. So, anyway,
I think we have more gun feedback just us.
John says, another shooting today over the hill from here in San Bruno at YouTube. Maybe if these gun people really need these guns, we should let them keep them, but just ban all ammunition for them. Does the Second Amendment guarantee the right of ammunition to these weapons? This is ridiculous. Now, John, and I believe he shared his story on a Married Man show or a Ramblecast. He is a UPS worker who was in the facility that was shot up in the Bay Area last June. And that is what this second email is about, just to preference it. He says, every time this happens, I go right back to last June at work. Scary, scary day. Even just going to work now daily, I'm still reminded of that day. Every time I turn down the block, it's like Mike was shot on that corner. Benson and Wayne were dragged out, bloody and full of bullets, and put down lifeless right on the corner in front of us. It never leaves you. I'm like, you ban all guns. Hey, this isn't working. Let's ban them and see what happens. Prove us wrong. I see hope in the younger generation, though. Keep telling my daughter, who's 23, this, because they see how stupid and deadly daily life has become.
Yep. I couldn't even imagine living through something like that. But I think the thing that worries me is the speed and the frequency in which these things are happening. I think the chances are that more of us than not will live through a shooting. Mm-hmm. Is really, it's harrowing.
Okay, so I had a realization last week, and I in just that political Facebook group. So there's 55 members, and I realized at one point I knew of at least 5 in there that had been affected by gun violence, either directly or via like being married to somebody or like being a parent of someone, and I did not count myself. And I thought that that was incredible. Just even then, like, that's what, 11% of people, like, and to me, like, just direct gun violence, not being around guns, but violence. Mm-hmm. And I was actually corrected. There was a lot more than that. There was at least 12, 13, 14 people in there that have been directly affected, whether it was through marriage, through somebody mm-hmm. that they knew directly, not like my cousin did this, not like, you know, my coworker's cousin did this or something. It was either like them, their child, their parent, their sibling, their whatever. And there was a lot. And that to me was just incredible. One person said that they could list 9 people in their immediate family who had been directly affected. Somebody else had said that they had their employee had been shot by their estranged husband. I mean, there was a lot of people. And that was just insane to me, the amount of people that had a story of gun violence. It was more than I thought. And it just made me even think even higher that, well, it's not even like, you know, 1 in 10 people you know is affected. It's more like half of the people that you know have been affected in some way. And when is the point where it's enough is enough? Where like when do you get to the point where it's not, well, you know, that's what it is. Like when is that like not that?
Right, where it's, you know, the betterment of all versus the enrichment of one. That like when is your individual right to have something more important to the right of all people to be safe in public spaces. Like,
especially when
does that switch over for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have a right to possess, you don't have a right to possess bombs. You don't have a right to possess, you know, a bunch of other things. Like, why would it make sense for you to have a right to bear arms? I don't care. Yeah, exactly. I don't care if it's in the Constitution or in the part of the amendments. It's stupid. And
right. It's not even, again, it's, I don't know.
But like for people that love the Second Amendment, can you name any of the other amendments?
Well, Nick is listening to this and Nick can definitely, we could have him on and we could have him, I could have him in person and he could definitely name you. If I'm like, what's the 26th and a half amendment? He'd be like, it's this.
Right, yeah, but so is sure. Yeah, I would argue that Nick is an exception, not the rule.
Yes, you're absolutely well, right. Correct. The average American probably doesn't know all the Constitution.
And even like whether or not you know them all, and I'll definitely give you that I'm sure Nick does. I still have yet to hear a good argument from anyone for why it's something that you need and why it's something that's positive for society and why it's worth keeping. I'm still waiting for that. So it like, you know, whether or not you can name off all of the amendments, like if you can't give me a reason why we should really be holding on to it, then maybe that means we shouldn't be holding
just
on
cool
to
story,
it.
Bro, them all.
Cool story, bro. Well, I think it was the Daily Show posted. Or no, it was Samantha Bee. God, I love her. They made a video from the March for Our Lives where they talk to people that own guns, that are gun advocates, and why they still felt that they needed to go to the march. Yes. And stand with these people. And because I think that is the majority of gun owners in this country
with gun control.
Yeah. And that they would prefer it.
Yeah. There was the parents of that woman who was shot, Jessica something, I think it was. She escaped missed the shooting in the Canada in the Canada Mall, and then was killed in Aurora. Her parents I saw their interview on CNN that day. They're gun owners, and they still go and, you know, yep, advocate for better gun control. It's not mutually exclusive. Gun control does not, like, what these students are asking for on the most basic level is not, they're not mutually exclusive. Gun control doesn't mean that people are coming to take away your guns. It's just saying that perhaps all of us shouldn't own assault weapons, or yep, any of us that are civilians. But really, yep, like, they're just starting small. They're starting with crazy people. Or beyond that, you know, like, or teenagers. If you think that, you know, teenagers aren't responsible enough to drink before they're 21, why are they responsible enough to be able to legally, you know, buy an assault weapon? Sorry, I don't know the right words.
Well, it's like, I went to the march in Hartford with my friend who is a teacher who has her gun permit, you know, and she's like, yeah, I know how to fire a gun. I don't feel like I need to have it in school, nor do I want it there.
Yeah.
You know, like assault rifles just should not be a thing that if you are not in the military on active duty, you just shouldn't have. There's no need for it.
No, there is no need. Like, and except, you know, the government might come and right. I just want to know.
Again, like that's how... fucking treason.
No, it's not even that. Not even the treason level. Like if you want to defend yourself against the government, sure, fine, whatever. I just want to know how is your fucking AR-47, AK-47, whatever the fuck it's called. How is that going to protect you against the bioterrorism that the government, like the biological weapons the government has against you, or the nuclear bombs that they could, or the tanks that are going to roll out? Like, how is that going to protect you against that?
We have the most powerful military in the entire world.
Right. Also, but
by all means, these people who think that they get to be super fucking American and patriotic while at the same time stockpiling arms in case they have to defend themselves against this country that they claim patriotism for.
That they love so much.
JIC, yeah, just in case. Jick.
Yep.
Contradiction. Like, oh, it makes me. Angry.
Clearly, if we're going to, we have a democracy or republic, democratic republic. If we're going to elect people into office that are going to take over, then maybe we failed.
Right.
Oh, somebody out there is calling me a communist right now for suggesting that. I'm just saying we have a system. We have branches to keep that from happening. And sure, anybody could go and like take over a la, you know, Handmaid's Tale style, sure, mm-hmm. but
yeah,
right. I mean, well,
the people that are pro guns are the people that voted that administration in power, and the people that don't see any problem with that. So maybe the system does fail. Maybe I should cut that out because maybe that's treasonous to say.
Well, I was going to say we're getting a little rambly and away from the point.
We're rambling away from the point.
I think that's it. That also doesn't account for the part of the population that voted and now regrets that.
Absolutely does that not. Vote. That does not.
Do you think there's a big portion of the population that voted that way and now regrets it?
I think it's a fair amount. I mean, you look at his approval rating.
Well, he didn't get the popular vote, so.
Yeah, but he still got more of the vote than he got more of the vote than he currently has approval rating.
Fair enough. That's true. Okay.
It's just math.
Just because you approve of what a current administration does or is doing currently, does that mean that you regret voting that way, like in the overall picture? You know what I mean?
I think there is, because I think there's a fair amount of people that it wasn't a vote for Trump. It was a vote against Hillary.
And now they've realized that maybe they were just being sexist?
Yes.
Or they just realized that they just...
Or they didn't think up and win. That they thought they were just like, I don't know, they were wasting their time.
Let's not go down that route because there's a whole lot.
This is going nowhere fast.
We have abort, an email abort. From Andy, and then we have...
Abort.
Me. That's my backup sound.
We have an email from Anonymous.
Okay, so...
hit that up, not shoot that up.
So we have an anonymous email coming up. It's entitled Looking for Advice, and the email says, "Hello, broadcasters. I am looking for your and the listeners' advice on a topic. On Friday, I learned via the news that a friend's husband had been arrested for domestic assault and battery against her. She admitted that he had been verbally abusive to her for their entire marriage, but he had only become physically violent in the past few months. As part of his bail, he is unable to contact her or their children. I'm not really sure what to do next. This woman was my childhood best friend, and although we live about 20 minutes away from each other, we speak infrequently. But I feel compelled to offer her my support. As noted above, I found out about the situation from the news and not directly from her. Thoughts? Love you, ladies. Anonymous."
Anybody want to start? Because I've been thinking and taking notes since this came in.
Yeah, go for it.
So this is tough. I would, and this is just me, and maybe I'm totally wrong, and I hope that, you know, somebody can correct me if I am. I were you and I wanted to say something, I would do so either if you have her phone number, send her a very nice text and say you don't have to respond, but I'm thinking of you, and if you need to talk, you know, I'm here for you. Please don't feel like I'm judging you, or don't feel like you have to respond, but I just want you to know that you are loved, or whatever, however that could be. You can workshop that language. And then don't be offended or whatever. Don't press it if she doesn't respond, because if you only heard from the news, it's likely that maybe she's embarrassed or something. Because, it is kind of a sensitive thing for somebody to go through. The second thing I had to say, if you don't, because I'm a texter, I would send a really nice note in the mail then and just say the same thing and, like, do it personally, like, handwritten. And just, because there's something about, when I had my miscarriage last year, or, oh goodness, it was like a year and a half ago at this point, I got some really nice notes from people after I talked about it on this show, and I didn't respond to all of them, but, like, Jay's Aunt Cindy sent something, our friend Jana sent something. I didn't respond to them, but I was really moved and felt really, really, you know, touched and better having received something, having just received like good wishes, and there were good wishes from, you know, more people that listened to this. So that's why I say that, just from personal experience, when there's something that's sensitive that you may not want to talk about directly, it's always nice though just to know, even if you can't acknowledge it, that somebody is thinking about you and somebody's in your corner.
Yeah, I think my advice would be similar. I would, you know, reach out in whatever means you maybe normally talk. And you said that you spoke infrequently, which means you do speak sometimes. So I would maybe reach out in whatever means that is. You know, if you want to call.
Don't post it on her Facebook wall.
But yeah, obviously. Obviously. You know, it's like, if you want to call, go ahead and call. If she doesn't want to talk, she won't pick up. And you can leave a voicemail.
Exactly.
But I agree. I think you have to be clear with the boundaries of that you are not expecting a response unless she wants to, that you're just putting your love out into the universe for her if she wants to pick it up and take it.
Yeah, I think you guys both nailed it. Sounds good. A shitty situation.
Yeah.
I'm just really glad that he is not allowed to contact her or their children.
And I'm glad she's out of it.
Because fuck him.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised it was on the news. I feel like normally domestic abuse situations, it seems to be kept kind of hush-hush, like just for safety reasons.
Hmm.
Or maybe I'm completely off base.
Maybe there's maybe there's something that happened that maybe it was public.
That was news, you know.
Yeah.
Where, like, or maybe she lives maybe Anonymous lives in a small town or something.
Fair.
And then to end on a fun note, we have a voicemail about group masturbation. I know I took my time with that, but, like,
You relished it.
I was like, how am I going to say this without laughing? And then I realized I'm not going to say this without laughing, so I just better go for it. Just to warn you, this call's a little gross, a little graphic. So if that's not your deal, that's fine. Just skip ahead about 3 minutes. All right, let's do it.
Hi, Amanda, Colleen, and Shandy. This is Nick from New Jersey. I'm a few episodes behind here, so sorry if I'm calling too late. But I was just calling about the conversation you guys were having about, like, dudes and group masturbation. So I just wanted to share my story. So I went to high school in the 90s, and I remember, I think it was junior or senior year, a good friend of mine, Jack, would tell a story how, you know, when you go to college and join a frat, you play the cookie game, which you've probably heard of, but just to summarize what it is you guys would sit around and jerk off and onto a cookie, basically. And then the last person to ejaculate would have to eat the cookie.
No.
It always sounded like the weirdest game, because why should the last person have to eat it? Like, isn't it a good thing to be the last one? But anyway, so, you know, he would talk about that. It was kind of a joke about the cookie game, blah, blah, blah. And then one time what happened is, now this was senior year, probably spring, and this was before DVDs. This was like VHS, but we somehow, not somehow, I think we know, I know how, but we got like an adult movie and put it on and we're watching it. This was like an afternoon after school, and it was just, I was there and my friend Jack was there, and he just, I guess, got really horny, and he just whipped his thing out, dick. I don't know what to say on the phone. I guess I can say dick. He whipped his dick out and said, okay, we're playing the cookie game. And I was just like, what? And then he grabbed a piece of bread, a piece of white bread, and basically started jacking off. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm not doing this in front of you. He's like, fine, go. Here's a piece of bread, and you go in the bathroom and do it. And so I'm like sitting there in the bathroom with a piece of bread, being like, okay. And then literally like 10 seconds later, he knocks on the bathroom door and shows me the bread, just covered with his ejaculate. And I'm like, I'm not eating that. And so I had to give him $5. It was the weirdest thing. Anyway, so that's all. And then I went to college. There was no group masturbation stuff there. But that's my story. I hope it's of some insight to you guys. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Oh my God, what a perv. What a pervy friend.
A couple of things.
Day first, by day.
First of all, I'm not eating that is probably going to be our episode title.
Yes.
Second of all, I'm going to try to figure out how to make this video, like how Jack posts the Rumblecast video of our reactions during this call, because there was a, you know how we were crying during Maggie's call? Okay. We were crying for a turn.
Right. Not to bury the lead, but Shandy is vindicated.
Yes. Totally vindicated. Also, dudes can be fucking weird. Third of all, this friend Jack, like, was he gay? Like, did he want to date you? Is that what's going on there? Because again, it's like these shared erotic experiences between like so-called heterosexual men, which like I have nothing against, but it's just like a lot of times the people in question are kind of like not comfortable with that. So it's just like, what is going on? Which maybe, clearly the caller was not comfortable with that.
Well, they were young, so maybe Jack, he just was confused about like, you know, what you
do. How can you, I mean, like, how many times did you masturbate with your female friends?
Yeah, but okay. I don't think you have to be gay to want to. I don't know. Like, dudes go in locker rooms together all the time. Doesn't mean that.
Oh, dear God.
Okay, this whole thing is weird.
It's fucking weird.
Okay, well, I think that's a good place to stop for now. I don't even know where to go from there. Thank you, patrons. If you want to become a patron, go to patreon.com/JandJack. Or you can go to jandjack.com and click on the little become a patron link up top. Thank you to some patrons who contribute at a special level. And that would be Maggie. Holla! We need to think of a new name. We need to think of a name for Maggie, because we have Ed the Creepy Mailman, Molly the Millennial, Tack from Tokyo, and Eckhart Glatfelter Rickner is what. So what do we? What? Who's Maggie? Maggie the Great? Maggie the Magnificent.
I like Maggie the Magnificent.
Okay.
That might be hard to say, but I think it's worth it for Maggie.
Welcome, Maggie the Magnificent.
All
right. Yay, and thank you.
It's got a good ring.
Again, you can go to patreon.com/JandJack and check that all out. So we had this promotion in the month of March for certain Patreon, for the $5 and $15 level. And I think we're going to extend it for a little while longer right now in honor of Sexual Assault Prevention Month.
Sure.
Why not? I mean, do we really need a reason? We're going to extend it for just a little while longer, because why not? But welcome, Alexandria. Hold on. I'm trying to pull. I wrote down Alex A and then didn't like specify. Now that I have an Alex, I think everybody's an Alex. So, like, here we all go. But we have a couple of new patrons to thank. So we're doing something somewhere, somehow, on the way to our 100 new patrons in 2000 and whatever year we're in, 18. So welcome to Alexander, welcome Carol, welcome Chuck, and welcome Alexandra. So yay! I think it's really cool that we have gotten an Alexander and Alexandra now, mm-hmm. as I have also gotten an Alexander. So welcome. Thank you. If you'd like to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, you can go to janejack.com/Amazon. It'll redirect you to an Amazon homepage. Oh, we have a store. So there's broadcast stickers up currently, but there will be more broadcast merchandise, including quotes. I've been working with Jacob, not on the quote part, just on the other stuff, because I'm not an idea person. I'm like the details execute person. So we will, though, have quotes and more stuff. Whether it's stickers, drinkware, t-shirts, but, I don't know. So go to janejack.com/store, or it's on teespring.com/store/janejack. The link is in the Facebook group and it'll be in the show notes, but check those out because that's really awesome as well, that we finally have that up and running. Check out the new podcast from Jay Jack and Mike, Heroes with Jay Jack and Mike Reborn. You may hear some contributors on there that are familiar.
Just leave it at that.
Just, you know, give it a check it out. It came out on Sunday, April 1st, a.k.a. Easter. I think that's about it that I have. Does anybody else have anything?
I'm good.
I'm good.
Okay. I have a whole bunch of stuff that I'm going to keep for my hashtag what I didn't get to last time. And we'll call it a day. Okay, I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And peace out, guys.
See ya.
Bye.